going to get back to Menashe, but we're going to start right now. Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Tes Vav. Okay, Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Tes Vav. There's the Yitzim Moshe L'mati B'nei Reuven L'mishpachosa. Okay, so Moshe gave to the tribe of Reuven, right, according to their families. Now, here we go. Yilam HaGbul Me, Aroer HaShel Sof Nachal Arnon, Zay, Yerushab Azokhan Achav Bechol Mishu Ad Medva. Chash Mabachol, Reashav, Mishur Divo, Nubamos Baal, Ubeiz Baal Ma'on. V'yatsu Ukdemus U'mefas. Kiryasayim V'sidma V'tzeres HaShachah Be'har Emek. Vespor, obviously, is the place where Baal Pa'or was, right? That is right opposite where Moshe Rabbeinu was buried. Ashtos Episcopal Beis Yeshimos. Choria Mishra Bahomalko Sikho Melech Amoria Shamalach Bakashman Ashid Moshe Oso. Beth Nisiyah Midyam Es Evi Ves Rekmes Tur Ves Kor Ves Reb Nisiyah Sikhon Yoshe Arts. Stam, let's stop right there for 1 second. Sikhon, the king of Cheshbon, that Moshe Rabbeinu had just killed, right? So that's one thing. We don't see that Sichon was ever killed by Moshe Rabbeinu. We see that Og was killed by Moshe Rabbeinu. We never see that Sichon was killed by Moshe Rabbeinu. That's number one.
Well, it's implied.
I guess so. It never says that Moshe Rabbeinu goes out.
But they're always mentioned in canon.
Yeah, but it says that Beni Yisrael defeated them. But it doesn't say that.
Also, that Moshe killed Og, or something.
It says Og. You know, it says straight out that Moshe went out to war against Og. So that's different. Over here it says this. And then it says this, Nisiyeh Midyan, who Moshe certainly didn't kill. This was Pinchas. Evi, Rekem, Tzur, Hur, and Reva. We know Tzur is Balak, the princes of Sichon, Yoshe Aretz. There's Bilam Ben Ba'or, Akosim, Horgim, and Yisrael, Bechar, Bechal, Aleihem. Bilam Ben Ba'or, the magician, they killed all of Bnei Yisrael with the sword by their corpses. And all that area belonged to Reuven. That's who it was. So as for Bilam, okay, let's just go with this. Some say that he's mentioned here in order to show that despite all of his magical powers, the Jews were able to kill him just as easily as they killed the rest of the Canaan. Some say that it was very hard to overcome Bilam. Bilam, as soon as he saw that bad things were going on, he whispered a name, you know, something that was Tameh, and he jumped up in the sky and started flying around. The Gemara is a little bit of a machlokas, Midrashim is a little bit of a machlokas. If Pinchas said the name of Hashem and flew up after him, grabbed him in the middle of the sky, argued with him, and then pulled him down to earth and killed him. That's one cool thing. It sounds like he might have even killed him. Bilam said, please, I'll do tshuva. And Pinchas said to him, no, you've done enough, buddy. And then he killed him up there in the sky. Others say a guy by the name of Tzuya ben Dun said Hashem of Hashem and knocked him down from the sky. He knocked him down from up there. No, Tzuya ben Dun is not mentioned anywhere at all. In fact, the only son of Dun that we see in the Torah is Hushim ben Dun. Could be Tzuya ben Hushim. Either way, others say the princes of Midian also flew in the air with Midian regardless. The reason why we're calling him a Kosim over here is to show that he is not a prophet. He was never given a real prophecy except for that one time in Parshas Balak. He was an evil man and he never really deserved it. He never really deserved to have it, but that was that because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted him to be. That's the honest truth over there.
Well, doesn't the Midrash say that there was he didn't want everybody to complain, well, the Jews had Moshe Rabbeinu. If we had a leader like Moshe Rabbeinu, then
you're 1,000% right, and that's what they say. There was some type of equality between Moshe and Bilam, but it was never the normal way. Exactly. It was never the same thing that Moshe Rabbeinu was. He had a chance to do something special, and he never took it. He never took it. It says, Vayitim Moshe Mati God, this is in Pasuk Chaf Dalid to Chaf Ches. Vayitim Moshe Mati God, Zuvnei God, Lemishpahosam. Okay, it says, Vayilam Agbul Yazir Bechol Regilat, Chat Eretz Bnei Amon, Adro Eir Asher Pnei Rabo. That was their area. Mecheshbon Ad Ramas Amitzvah of the Tonin. The north on the side of Malchus Sichon, and then it says mostly the rest of the idea over here. Now the kasha is, which one was first? Over here we notice that Reuven was mentioned before God. But throughout the Torah, it's always Gad the Reuven. What ended up happening over here? It's a very, very nice shot over here. It says, the tribe of Reuven agreed to join Gad after Gad had already made the decision. Reuven only came afterward. Therefore, Gad is severely criticized for his decision to stay outside Eretz Yisrael. And that's that. What about Menashe? Where did Menashe come in all this? When Yosef HaTzadik made the brothers tear their clothing, when they thought that Yosef was in charge of Tzafnas Paneach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu called out and said, because you did that, your sons will be split up throughout Klal Yisrael.
Well, they're supposed to do that.
No. Oh, hold on. They are. Menashe is half because they're... You're right, but half of Menashe on one side, half of Menashe is on the other side, right? So here's the voice. What was he supposed to do, right? It's somewhat of a reward as well. Chazal also tells us that Menashe was split up because they were teachers in Klal Yisrael, and they therefore needed to be split up from one side to the other side so that they would be around all of Klal Yisrael. And that's what it was supposed to be. And therefore, Menashe was somewhat of a good thing that he was on both sides and everything was going to be good over there. Now, I have that. There's a little bit more that you can say about Menashe. the original agreement was only made with Gad and Reuven. Menashe only came afterward. He wasn't bound to the agreement at all. He didn't have to go outside. Menashe, on their own, conquered their own territory, and they didn't do anything else. That's that. And Menashe had, obviously, the largest amount of land that he could possibly get. Okay, Chavtas, it says, V'yitza Moshe l'chatsi shev Menashe, v'yitza chatsi matzim, and Menashe l'nishu chosam. It went to their families. This is the land of the Bashan. All the cities of Yair. Yair ben Menashe. When did Yair ben Menashe die? In the war against the Asher Babasar, Shishim Ir. All together, how many cities? 60 cities. Went to them. Moshe the ones that Moshe gave in Arvos Mom, to the east.
Menashe, whoever it was, they got like big, huge portions of land.
Yeah.
And so they built their house. But I mean, a city is like everybody's kind of living together.
Yeah.
So how did they have 60 cities if it seems like everybody was just kind of like...
Sounds like the cities were not as big as they made them out.
Right,
they were towns. So let's
right, but how did they even have a town? Because all the land between the towns was owned by people. So wouldn't everybody just have like a house on their land? So
maybe they didn't have as many people at that time. It's a good call, though. Maybe there were a little bit of farmlands, or the cities were just smaller, or people didn't have land in that way. I mean, certain lands...
Like triangles?
Everybody has to be equal, right? And we're going to talk about that. Some people had huge lands, some people had small lands, depending on the quality of the ground and what they wanted. So it's possible that's what it means by that, as opposed to all being farmers. You should know, when Mashiach comes, Shevet Levi will get a chelek. They do get a chelek.
Right.
And three other lands are going to be added on, the Keni, Kenizi, and Kadmoni, which is Moab, Ammon, and Edom. They will be added on to Klal Yisrael, and at that point, that's when Shevet Levi is going to get land. That's written in Sefer Yechezkel. So that's when
that whole allotment, I mean, is not really relevant nowadays. People live in cities, and
it's going to be very hard for us to understand how this works exactly. We don't know what it means that there's going to be divisions of halakim, of different shvatim from one to the other. Don't know how it's going to work. But we'll see. Who knows what's going to be. Yeah, it's very different because farmlands are very... It's not like that by us. Let's see. Yeshua Yudalit. These were the portions that Bnei Yisrael got in Eretz Canaan. They were inherited through Elazar the Kohen Gadol and Yeshua ben Nun, the Rashi of Zamatul Bnei Yisrael, and all the heads of the tribes of Bnei Yisrael. The Goron Nachalosam Kashatib Hashem Yad Moshe, in the lotteries of their inheritances, like Hashem commanded in Moshe, Lutish Zamatul Zachati Amata, for the 9.5. Shvatim. Again, why only 9.5? Because Shevet Levi didn't get an Achol. Reuven and Gad already got their place, and Shevet Menashe had already conquered what they needed within the Bashan itself. What year was this? This was year 2495 that they started to divide it up. 2448, if you remember, is when they left Mitzrayim. 2448 is also the year that they received the Torah. 2495 is when they ended up getting the division over here. Yoshua and Moshe were both involved in the split. Both of them in Ruach HaKodesh and Nevuah, and Moshe Rabbeinu already knew. So how did it happen exactly? So it's a very interesting type of whatever it is. He put on the priestly, Elazar Kohen Gadol put on the priestly garments, including the Urim and Tumim. Yeshua and the entire nation stood before him, and lots were drawn. The names of the tribes and families were written on slips of paper and put into one box. The names of the cities and regions were written on other slips of paper and put into a second box. Then the spirit of Nevuah would descend upon him, and he would say, the tribe of Zvulun is coming up, and the city of Acre, let's say, is coming up with it. And then we reach into one box, take out a piece of paper, and it would say Zvulun. Reach into the other box, pull it out, and it would say Acre. And that's what he would end up doing. Before the papers were even opened, the lottery itself would miraculously begin to speak. The lottery itself would say, I am Zvulun.
The box?
I am Acre. The box itself got up, or the little pieces of paper that were in the box, they got up and they started saying something, and they were the ones that were there. Crazy, crazy stuff. Once the Shvatim had each been assigned their region, the region that they were supposed to be, the leaders divided it among the families and individual members.
The leaders of each Shevet.
Yes. It was first necessary to evaluate the land. You had to figure out which land, what the land was like. So they had people going on to figure out what portions they would need to be able to divide it up between different people and what they were going to do. By the way, it also could be for safety reasons that everybody lived in one city, but they owned the land outside the city. That would also make a lot of sense for them to be able to go. there are different opinions as to how it exactly worked. Either it was up to Yoshua and the heads of the tribes to even things out. They took land from some of the larger portions, added to the smaller ones when necessary. Or some say the extent of the boundaries was up to Yoshua and everybody else. Others say it was already predicted before anything, and nothing was added on or differentiated by Yoshua or anything like that. All right, let's go to Pasuk Gimel, guys.
The bigger deal wasn't made out of this. This is like a huge undertaking.
Well, that was the whole problem with Achan. Remember what he said to Achan? Yeshua said to Achan when Achan had sinned and stolen from the eye, he said, please do not argue on the lottery. We're going to need this thing. The lottery is huge for all the qualities for all. And if you start arguing with it, you start saying, oh, it's not worth anything, it's not anything, you got to raise it. Because remember, Achan was captured by the lottery. So we spoke about it then. It's just, yes, this is absolutely huge.
Yeah, but it could also work the other way. You could also be like, okay, from now on, we're judging all of our cases using a lottery system. Like, we don't know who committed this crime, let's do a lottery.
No, we already had a court system set up, though.
No, I understand. But I'm saying, if this is like a magic lottery, why don't we're wondering who committed the crime. We don't have any witnesses or anything. So let's cut up everybody's
mind. Right. Yeah, I hear what he's saying. You can't use this more than that. Yoshua was still in a stage where he was like Moshe Rabbeinu, that he was a bit different from everybody else, and he still had Nevuah. Nevuah like Moshe Rabbeinu, not exactly. He couldn't get Torah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but he could judge cases similar to how Moshe Rabbeinu judged cases. That was the only major difference. So you're right. For the future, you can't use lotteries for anything like that. If you want to figure stuff out, you can't just say, all right, everybody line up. Let's see.
David.
Is that
Usher?
I would believe it's Usher. Lo Bashamayim is how we call it.
No, but I thought there's something else. There's something else. It's a derayos. I think it's aser.
Nifush.
You can't do that. You can't pull lotteries to.
But that is no. That's not
nifush. It's still like, you're going to put somebody to death. Like, oh, who committed this murder? Well, this name came up. Let's kill.
Call. That's what. Maybe that's the reason why Yoshua told Achan to admit.
Logically, not just.
Yeah, maybe that's the reason why he told Achan to admit to it, and they did catch him with the gold and everything. Maybe that's the reason why. Who knows? It's good questions. These are good questions.
Duck, goose. You're it.
No.
Yeah, it would be kind of evil, wouldn't it? Here we go. Kinas Moshe Nachlo Shnei Amata Zechati Amata. This is in Pasuk Gimel. Me'ever Liyadim Alavim Lo Nosan Nosan Nachlo Bezon. Because again, 2.5 matzos already got their stuff. Levi didn't get an Nachlo. Ki Ayu B'nei Yosef Shnei Matzos Menashe Afayim Lo Nosan Uchelik Levim Ba'aretz. The two matzos of Yosef were chosen Menashe Afayim. They were split up. The Chelik wasn't given to Levim and Eretz Tzarkim Arm L'Shavim Migrashayim L'Miknayim L'Kinyonim. They were given little cities to live in, as well as the fields outside for their mikneh, for their cattle, and anything that they owned. Keshet Tziva Shemes Moshe Kinas B'nei Yosef Yachak Yachlaku as Aretz. Just like Hashem commanded Moshe, then Israel did it and they divided up the land. Even if they thought that maybe they didn't get the fairest portion that they could possibly get, nonetheless, they did exactly what Yoshua and what the Shvatim had told them to do, and they went and they did it. I don't think we have to explain why. You know, there's always 12 Shvatim. Sometimes the Menashe and Ephraim are split, sometimes they're together, and Levi is included. Either way, it's always 12. Vayigash b'nei Yehuda Yoshua. Now, the people of Yehuda can be Yoshua. Notice the word Vayigash. Okay, and they came to Yoshua. Yoshua is from what tribe?
Yosef.
From Yosef. They point out that Vayigash is the last time it was used is by Yehuda approaching Yosef about Binyamin of Tzadik. Okay, so Vayigshu, Kalev, is going to ask for a favor from Yehuda. He accepted Yoshua 100% as the leader and the king of Klal Yisrael, even though Kalev was from Shevi Yehuda, who considered himself the king.
But Vayigash is like
an approach.
But a challenging approach, not I defer to you. That's why it says Vayigash.
Is that what it is in Hebrew?
Well, I think that was the meter or somebody, but Rashi maybe it is.
It's the opposite. It's supposed to be respect.
No, because that's why he came.
Meaning the Targum says Krivu.
They brought close. I'll tell you why. Because although we know the Midrashim that he came in and wanted to fight, but it clearly seems from the pasuk that he's coming in to sort of like give in to Yosef and say, please,
no, but doesn't Rashi say that if, you know, I'm coming close to you, but if you don't agree with me, I'm going to destroy all these.
I definitely, and that's what I'm saying, in Medrash, that's definitely true. Is that the shot? Now, I'm not going to argue. Maybe Rashi is saying that. I don't know if that comes from the word Vayigash, as maybe it says the word a love. I don't know. But the word Vayigash seems to be with respect. That's what it should be over here. Or at least that's what it said. That's what we have over here from the Miyam Malays, that it's supposed to be something that's respect. Kalev accepted Yoshua as the leader without any jealousy. It says, Vayigash b'nei Yehuda Yoshua by Gilgal.
Oh, that's awesome.
By Yom I love Kalev b'nei Yehuda. He was an awesome guy. I agree with you.
Hakanizi, so cool. Hakanizi, and he married Miriam, right?
He married Miriam and?
And somebody else was awesome.
And Bizya Basparo.
Yeah.
But that's so weird. He's so much younger than them.
Crazy young. Yeah. 100%. Crazy young. Yeah, it's okay. Don't say it out loud. No, absolutely not. Do not say that out loud. No, absolutely not.
No, but we're talking about like, we're not talking about like a 5 year, 10 year old. We're talking about like,
no, we're talking about 40 years, 50 years old. Naomi Love called Ben Yefuna Hakhnizi. The reason why it's called Ben Yefuna and then Hakhnizi is because he had a father. His father was Yefuna. Shush. His father was Yefuna. His stepfather was Kenaz. That's why his brother, his stepbrother was Osniel Ben. That's why it's called Yefuna Hakhnizi. You know, obviously, saying to Yeshua, you and I were both involved in this matter that HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Moshe, the man of God, about me and about you in Kadesh Barnea. Listen, we all know what was going on over here, and we all know that there was a promise being given over here. It could be that Kalev could have gone up to Yeshua in private. He didn't have to bring the Bnei Yehuda together with him, but he wanted to show the rest of the people the respect that he had for Yeshua. Obviously, he's a contemporary. They both were in the Meraglim. They both were there, but he wanted to show that he did not consider himself Yeshua's equal. He wanted to show them just that. Okay, that's that. Kalev also wanted something a little bit more than anything else. Kalev wanted to be excluded from the Goral. That's what he really asked.
But didn't God already give him Chevron?
And that's what he was trying to claim. He was trying to claim that I am not included in the rest of the Goral. Now, Chevron, at the time, was the most special city in Eretz Yisrael. Why was it considered the holiest city in Eretz Yisrael? Chevron.
Avram lived there.
Because, not only because Avram lived there. It's the only place where the Avos were buried. Meaning, there is no other place in Eretz Yisrael where there's holy and where there's Kedusha. Because the Avos were only buried in there. Right now, the Mishkan is in Gilgal, but that's not its set place, and they knew it wasn't a set place.
Yeah,
while the Mishkan is in Gilgal, it's a holy place. But it's going to move, so they didn't know where to go. Hebron was the holiest city. Kali was asking for a crazy request. Keep me out of the lottery and allow me to take the place where the Avos were buried. That's what he wanted. Now, some say they only wanted a small section of that. That. Others say that he asked for the entire city. When other people heard about that, either Shavin Yehuda or the other people, they protested. It's like, what? Kalev gets all this? But that's why Kalev brought it all to Yeshua. They brought the case in front of Yeshua and said, listen, we know what happened. We know, and he didn't mention the Meraglim directly because he didn't want to embarrass anybody else. He said, we know that I was given this, and we know that I'm supposed to have this. Okay? If I'm supposed to have this, then stop it. Okay? Give me the land and make sure that I'm the one that gets it, not anybody else. That's what it was. Then Arbaim Shana Anochi B'Shua.
Moshe was 44 years older than him?
Something like that. She was 80. I mean, we don't know.
I don't know if 84
was. She was 86. And Kalev was 40, yeah. So she was 46 years older than her. Then Arbaim Shana Anochi B'Shulach Moshe Aved Hashem Hotzi from Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old. What are you referring to?
Go ahead.
Okay, when I was 40 years old, when Moshe Eved Hashem sent me from Kadesh Barnea to Ragel's Arts to spy the land, Yishev was so dapper, kashering, lovely, and I gave him back word. My brothers that came with me, they melted the hearts of the people. I went after HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me to do, faithfully. He was right there. By the way, the word lave can also appear as levav. The difference is that lave is when you use your Yetzer Tov. Levav is when you use your Yetzer Tov. And the Yitzhahara. Kalev's Yitzhahara was not telling him to give a good report. His Yitzhahara was saying, say something bad. Say something with the Meraglim. He fought that Yitzhahara and went with his Yitzhar Tov. He surmounted the temptation, is how they call it. Now, on Pesach Tetzvah, Yishav Moshe Rabbeinu Lemor. Moshe Rabbeinu had sworn on that day, in Lo Arz Asher Dorcha Rag Lechabal, the land that you would put your feet on, Lechotia Lenachle, will be yours as an inheritance, Levenachle Adelim, and your children forever, Kimilei Sachar Yashem Lekoi, because you went after everything. Now, we don't actually see that Moshe swore that. We see that Hashem swore that, and not that Moshe did, but maybe. Because Hashem said it, Moshe did it. Maybe that's it. Or maybe Moshe did swear and the pasuk just doesn't say it. But regardless, that's all. You know, Hakadosh Baruch Hu will see. Hashem has kept me alive. Kasher Dibur Zayar, Bayim L'Chamei Shana for 45 years. May Elz Dibur Hashem Zivar Zel Moshe. After Moshe had spoken this thing to Moshe, Hashem had spoken to Moshe. Hashem Halach Yisrael B'Midbar. Va'ata Yinei Anochi Yom Ben Chamei Shushman Hashem. I'm 85 years old right now. Odeni Yom Chazak Kasher Yom Shloach Will See Moshe. Right? I am still strong, like on the day that Hashem had sent, that Moshe had sent me out. Kehochi Oz. My strength then was my strength now. For war and to come and to go. What were you going to say to
them? No, you do the math and the Torah and they said that it was the second year after leaving Egypt. He was 40. So it's plus 38 plus 7 of the...
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. That would be all together. There is an unbelievable thing. the fact that he did this is everybody was saying, let the younger men conquer Hebron for you. You don't have to go fight. And that's when Caleb said, oh no, that's not happening. I'm getting up and I'm fighting myself. My strength then is my strength now, and I'm willing to fight. Same way I would have fought those giants then, had we been allowed to do so, I'm doing it right now. And he's saying, I kept my vigor, I kept my strength the entire time. That's the idea behind it. Okay. Give me this mountain that Hashem had promised to me on that day. You heard on that day that there are giants there, but Aron Gedolos Bitsuros, and that there are big cities that are fortified. Maybe God will be with me, and I will inherit it like Hashem said. What's your Tasha?
Why was he so concerned about his inheritance?
He was always worried that he wouldn't get Hebron, because all the people wanted it. Everybody wanted Hebron. And that was his problem. Of course God was going to take care of him, but he wanted to make sure that he got Hebron. He didn't want just Sam, he wanted Hebron. Give me the area that I was promised. Exactly that, and that's what he felt. Okay? What does it mean, maybe? I mean, obviously, if God told you you're going to get it, then you're going to get it, right? The answer is, it was Caleb's humility. Maybe I sinned. Maybe I don't deserve to get it anymore. I know God's powerful promised me, but maybe I don't deserve to get it. That was then he was. Yoshua gave him a bracha and gave Caleb ben Yefunah Hebron as a nachla without the lottery. Three brachos. Number one, you should be protected from the Ayin Hara. Caleb is going to need it, because people are going to be jealous of the fact that he's living in Hebron. Number two, God should give you success in conquering Hebron. Number three, your descendants should multiply and fill up the great inheritance that you're supposed to get over here. So that's the problem. There's an out-of-order part over here. We don't know exactly when those wars were fought. Yes, they were fought. We don't know. We don't know if that's in the beginning. We don't know if that's when they're going out. We know nothing about the time period. That's what the Me'am Lo'i said before. We have no clue. Alkena is a Hebron L'Kalav Benifuna. Therefore, Hebron went to Kalav Benifuna Knizi L'Nachla Adiyom Azeh as an inheritance until today. Remember, Kenaz. Remember? Asliyo Ben Kenaz. His stepfather's name was Kenaz. Until this day, Yanashem Yilu Echwe Hashem L'Kei Yisrael, because he went after HaKadosh Baruch when he followed Hashem faithfully, and that's what it is. Okay, that is that. The same Hebron with the name Kiryat Arba. Hebron was originally called Kiryat Arba. Ha'adma Godoba Nakimhu. The man was the great giant. The heart shucked up Mochama. The land was quiet from war after that point. Now, why was it called Kiryat Arba? The famous idea is that Avram lived there. Avram lived there, I'm sorry. That four great men and their wives were buried there. Who was buried there? Avram and Zarah, Yitzchak and Rivka, Yaakov and Leah, as well as other men. That's Kiryat Arba, right? Others say because Avram, Aner, Eshkol, and Mamre lived there. The four friends. Others say four famous giants. Achimon, Sheshai, and Talmai, and their father. What was their father's name? Some say it was Anak. Others say his father's name was, and this is the fourth answer, Arba. And therefore it's called Kiryas Arba. That's another answer that's said over here. By the way, what I would say that was the
New York Giants.
That's cute. That's cute. You guys are crazy. Anyway, I would say from the wording of the Pasuk that the Pasuk shot is like that. The name of Hebron originally was Kiryat Arba, who was the man, the great among the giants. That's what I thought. Arba is the name of the massive giant.
Yes.
By the way, that's what he says over there as well. Others say that the name refers to the four kings of Mesopotamia that ruled over the area before Avram came, including Nimrod. So it's called Kiryat Arba because they ruled over that area. Others say there were four elevations of holiness. It was elevated by the lottery. It was awarded to Kalei. It was given to Levium eventually as a, what's it called, city? As a city of refuge. And then eventually went to the Kohanim. Hebron went to the Kohanim. And that's what it was. I think Kalei gave some of the area to the Levium and the Kohanim.
Part of the mountain. Like,
correct. I would assume that's what it was.
The Mari crosses is because Adam, Yitzchak, and Yaakov were all buried in Hebron.
That's the first shot. So altogether, we believe it six times altogether. You should know, so too. You said before, wasn't Hebron captured? There were three times that Hebron was captured. First, Yoshua conquered it along with the other cities of Canaan, but the three giants escaped and ran away. When Ben Israel left to go continue their conquest, the giants came back and reestablished. Then Caleb went alone and drove them out, and again they escaped. When Caleb was busy supervising the distribution of the different halakim, then Caleb returned and killed them a third time. And that's why the story is going to be repeated in the times of the Shoftim. That's what's going to happen over there. Pretty cool, isn't it? destroyed three times. In the beginning of Shoftim. The beginning of Shoftim. In the first parak or the second parak, we're going to mention the whole story all over. Yeshua is 100 altogether. That is that. Vayhi agoro lamate b'nei Yehuda. The goro from Mate b'nei Yehuda, let me show us in this parak, Tesvav, by the way. Agul adomi bar tzin negba mikse teiman. It's all the way down to the border of Edom, the midbar of Tzin, on the southern end. Okay, I'm just going to run through this. Gul negev mikse yamamelech. Goes from the east, the side of the yamamelech, meaning the Lashon HaPlina and Negba, from the side that goes to the south. You have to omi negev lamalei akrabim, going to malei akrabim, v'over tzin of olami negev l'kadish barnea, v'over chetzron, v'olo adorah v'nasav akarkaol, went to karkaol. V'over atzmon v'yotzen achol mitzrayim, and went down all the way to the river of Egypt. Some say that's the Nile River. Some say it's a different river of Egypt. Exactly. It's most likely the stream of Egypt. That was the southwest corner. Gvul Kedma to the east, Yamamelach, Ad Kitzer Yard until the edge of the Jordan River, Gvulifas Safona all the way in the north, Milashona Yam, from the tongue of the sea, Kitzer Yard, and from the edge of the Jordan. Okay, that's that. The Allah Gvul Beis Chagla went all the way to Chagla. The Avram Yitzchon the Beis HaRavah. The Allah Gvul Evan Bohan Ben Ruvain went by Evan Bohan Ben Ruvain. I have no idea what that means. Probably means the area that belongs to a guy named Evan Bohan, the son of Reuven, but I don't know who this is. Like maybe Bohan was the son of Reuven, but we don't know a guy like that. The Olag Bul Dvir went to Dvir. The Emek Achor, the Tzafona Ponel Gilgal went all the way to Gilgal. Shenoch Lamali Adumin, all the way by Mali Adumin. Asher Minegel Lanachal, on the south side of a river. Barbarag Bul May Ein Shemesh, toward the waters of Ein Shemesh, Ayutotzova, Ein Rogel. The Olag Bul Gay Ben Hinom, went all the way to the valley of Ben Hinom. We all know that that's right outside the old city today. Right, there's a movie theater there, which is why it's called Gehenna. Al Kesem Yibusi, there's also a lot of Arabs there. Al Kesem Yibusi, toward the shoulder where the Jebusites live. I know, that's fine. Anybody who goes to a movie there deserves to hear that. Yerushalayim. The Olag Bul Rosh Ahor to the top of the Manasher Pnei Gehino. Yama to the west, that should be to Emek Rephaim Safona, toward the edge of Emek Rephaim Safona. By the way, Emek Rephaim, the Valley of the Giants, is exactly where Emek Rephaim is today. The street Emek Rephaim. That is exactly where that street is. And it's just as tough. The Torah Gbul may Rosh Ahor al Mayim Minit Toha.
Of all the streets you can, I mean, Emek Rephaim is really nothing bad.
I'm just saying, don't worry, I'm getting to Nevesim. Torah Gbul may Rosh Ahor, it goes away from the top of the mountain al Mayim Minit Toha to the spring of Minit Toha, Yatol Ari Har Ephron, to the cities of the mountain of Ephron. He was an evil guy. The Torah Gbul Bala, he carries the arm, and then went all the way to Kiri Arm, which is where Neve is. But that's how Gbul me Bala Yama, went all the way from Bala Yama to the west, al Har Seir. Vavar al Kesu Yahar Yarim, meets the owners of the north, he saw him. The Yar Beis Shemesh, they went to Beit Shemesh. The Avar Timna, they went to Timna. Yotah Gul Kesav Ekron Safona to the north. Betorah Gul Shikrein of Avar Harabawa. Yotah Yavne Elba Yutotos Hagul Yama. Gul Yama Yama Agadol, right? That is Yama Agadol. That's the Mediterranean Sea in the west. Gul Zeg Gul Bene Yudah Stavlu Shvachosan. That's what it went according to their families. The only part that they did not get was the part of the Pelishim, the Philistines, where they lived. That part near Gaza was the area where they did not get. Everything else was considered there. Alright, I'm not a big enough geek to know where all these cities were and all those types of things, but yeah, you can check the back over here. It's all the way around here, and it's going up and down from one city to the other. That's what it was considered over here, and that's that. Here we go, guys. That was the first portion given by the lottery. Obviously, he got it from Yeshua, you know, speaking to Hashem. That's curious. Arba Avi Anak Yichadron. Oh, by the way, that's Avi HaAnak. Is he the father of the giant Anak? I'm sorry?
So Arba's the grandfather? Kir Arba Avi HaAnak. Arba, the father of the Anak, which is...
You know, there is an opinion that says that very much. Yeah, the grandfather. There is an opinion that says that over there. There is one opinion. Very, very good. All right, that was that. Akirit Arba, Avi Anak, Yichabron. By Yoresh Misham, it's impossible to get Dawid. Yoresh Misham called his Shloshah B'nai Anak. He got rid of the three giants. Shesha Akhiman and Talma, you live the Anak. Some say that they lived up until the destruction of the first base of Mikdash. I find that message extremely hard to understand. How were three giants living in Hebron that we have no idea? And it seems clear that they died. No, he drove them out. It does not say that he killed them. So, I don't know. It's interesting. He went from there to the city of Devir. Shem Devir was named Kiryat Sefer. Originally, they called Devir Kiryat Sefer, and today it's also called Kiryat Sefer. Whoever's able to kill, knock down Kiryat Sefer and capture him, and that's Aksa Bitalisha, I will give him my daughter Aksa as a wife.
Interesting. Specifically getting Kiryat Sefer.
Okay, there's a lot of questions about exactly what this is supposed to be.
Kiryat Sefer is far from Hebron.
Yeah, it isn't so close. Let's first go with who we had. Achzo was an extremely beautiful woman. Anyone who saw their wives after seeing Achzo said, oh, you're not like Achzo. That's what they said about their own wives, which is really a nice thing to say. Most Mefarshim say that it's a spiritual beauty and not a physical beauty. Otherwise, it would be a little bit strange. Why did he think that he needed help to be able to capture it? Because it's possible that he wouldn't grant the spec. He wasn't going to be granted because he already got a lot of squeals by killing three giants that were living in Hebron. So he didn't know. He wasn't sure what exactly it was. Othniel ben Kenaz had a desire to study Hashem's Torah. That's all he wanted to do all day long. When he heard that Caleb was willing to give his daughter and obviously a dowry that went with it, he was willing to do anything to be able to learn without any problems for the rest of his life. And therefore, he was willing to get up and he was willing to fight his own, you know, for his own brother-in-law in order to marry his tzaddik of a brother's daughter and be able to learn, sit and learn for the rest of his life. Yeah. If anybody has any questions on whether or not there is such a concept of kolel in the Torah, aside from the fact that 40 years in the desert they were all in kolel, Othniel ben Kenaz is by far the greatest example, as we'll see from the psukim. Let's look at the Bab Pashut Shah. That Yoked Othniel ben Kenaz Ochi Kolei, Vaitel Osaksa Bito Liisha. He gave Othniel ben Kenaz did it, the brother of Kolei.
He went and served in the army, and then he learned.
Look at this guy. All right, I'm going to give you the medrash. Hold on, we're going to get the medrash down now. He gave him Achsa, his daughter, as a wife. Vayibaboa, as she came to be together with Othniel, Othniel Lishomi Sabia, she brought herself down to ask from her father Sodeh for a field. But Titzach Malachmor, she fell off her donkey, literally. Vayibaboa called Malach, and Kalev said, so what happened? Vayibaboa said, Bracha, give me pools. Some say it's a literal blessing. Ki Eretz HaNegev Nesatani, you gave me a southern land. The Negev, we all know what's going on in the Negev and Eretz Yisrael. I need pools of water. He gave her the upper waters and the bottom waters. So every parish in the world, based on the Gemara and Tumura that Tezayin says, she said she was practical. She said Othniel was willing to live off the land and do whatever and whatever it was and stuff like that. She said, there is no way that I'm going to be able to live with Othniel ben Kenaz. The guy doesn't care about anything except for learning Torah. So how in the world are we going to make any money? You got to give me a field. You got to give me pools of water. And that's what he ended. And Kola said, not a problem. And gave her everything she needed to be able to make sure. And the line that he has from over here is, but he does not realize that if he must struggle to earn a living, he will not have time to study Torah and teach his children. So I've come to ask you myself, add on a little more land so we have a spring to provide water, then everything will be all right. Some say the donkey over here is a reference to Othniel himself. That Othniel was a donkey carrying the burden of Torah at all times. Othniel refused to ask for a proper dowry. Achsa walked away and threatened to call off the marriage until Kalev said, I want a son-in-law like my brother, so my stepbrother. So go back, I will give him everything that he could possibly need. Chazal also darshan from there that really the fight was not just a fight. He was fighting for Kiryat Sefer to bring back the Sfarim, the Kal Vachomers and Drushas that Yeshua had lost out of Gaiva when he couldn't get them back. And that's the idea behind that. Now, I don't know if that's Pshat or not, although Rashi does say that it's Pshat, but regardless, so that'll take me out. So that means that he didn't go to the army. He learned Torah the whole time. There we go.
He was willing to fight.
Willing to fight.
It doesn't quite shut it, he destroyed it. Meaning he was general.
Right, I'm saying that Drush says the other way, but that's fine, yeah.
Some of Kaz, I mean, he's got to be like in his 60s right now, at least.
Othniel ben Kenaz?
Yeah. He's the same mother, I guess. 85.
Yeah, you got to say he was a little bit.
He was older. 20 or
50, whatever it is, yeah. I agree with that. By the way, why didn't Yoshua bring back the Torah himself? How come he didn't try to get back the Torah? Why did Othniel ben Kenaz have to do it? Some say his punishment was that he was forever denied the ability to ride them again. Number two, he was too busy with his duties as a leader and conqueror to be able to devote the time needed to study. Very good. Number three, Yoshua was a prophet. If he claimed to have derived the law through his own reasoning, no one would have believed him. They would have said it's through Nebuah, and nobody else was allowed to do that. Othniel was able to figure it out on his own.
He was on Sinai, one level below Moshe.
He was on the bottom of the mountain, but I hear what you're saying. He's around there. That is 100% true. Othniel also had another name, Yehuda. father of Shimon. He also had another name, Yizit. Each one was a different type of quality that he had. That's the idea behind it and what it was supposed to be. Asniel ben Kenaz davened to Hashem for five things. He davened for wisdom, for students to never forget the Torah, for students to be God-fearing, and to overcome his evil inclination. Asniel means he was answered by El. Anos, El. Answered by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. His greatest students were the B'nai Keni, the children of Yisro, or the grandchildren of Yisro, who were perpetual Nazirim. They made severe vows upon themselves. They swore never to live in houses, but only in tents, until the Beis HaMikdash would be built up. Unbelievable, right? And they, because they saw in Nevuah that the Beis HaMikdash was going to be destroyed, they refused to live in, with any type of pleasure or in some type of whatever it was, until the, they were assured that the Beis HaMikdash would last forever. Pretty crazy, right?
I mean, they refused to live.
The line is, if we arouse in our hearts the proper sorrow and mourning for the temple that was destroyed because of our sins, or will be destroyed, God will have mercy on us and rebuild it soon. That's the line that the B'nai Keni took. Unbelievable,
like
people.
Scenes, like the Essenes.
What do you mean, the Essenes? I don't know what that is.
The scrolls, those were the scrolls of people. They used to live in the desert and would afflict themselves, and they didn't really believe in any, like...
I mean, they didn't believe in it.
No, they believed in it, but they weren't, they didn't follow the proof. They didn't follow the Chacham. They were very extreme. And, some say they really didn't procreate because they didn't believe in doing...
Good thing they're gone, then.
No, but, like, no, but
that's good.
They were to an extreme.
I hear you. All right, there's a lot of psukim over here, guys. I'm going to run through them from Chaf until Samach Beis. Here he goes. Those Nachos bin Matzah bin Yehudim Mishkolosam. You are in the cities. Mikser Lamatim bin Yehuda Gvul Adom Benegba Kavsel Eder Yagur Kina Dimona Adada Dimona Kedesh Chatzor Yisnan Zif Telam Uv Alois Chatzor Chadata Kiryas Chatzron, which is Chatzor, that's 15. Amam Shma Molada Chatzor Gada Chashmon Beis Kolet Chatzor Shul Be'er Shava Bizyosya Bala, that's 25. Iim Otsem El Tolad Ksil Chorma, that's 30. Siklag Madmana Samsana Levos Shulchim Ayin Verimon, right? So I have right now 37, but it says over here Kol Arim Esrim Vatesha V'chatzrayim, 29 cities. So everybody asks, how in the world do we just mess up that badly that we had 29? But I 29, I just counted 37 cities out of all of them.
Yeah, no, but Kol Arim
what says the extra cities were ended up giving, being given to the tribe of Shimon, right? And that's the reason why. I mean, Chatzran are other cities that they got, but they ended up being given over to Shevet Shimon. So that's the idea behind it. Or else, some of them are the significance of the names are telling us about them, and that's the only reason why. So, for example, Siklag, Madmana, and Sansana stand for complaint concerning sustenance, silent about it, and he who dwells in the bush will take care of you. That if you are silent about that, and it's just teaching us a lesson rather than telling us actual cities, which is an interesting place to put it, but regardless. Bashvela in the lower areas, Eshtol Tzara Ashna, Zanoach Ein Gagim Tapuach Ha'ena, Yarmus Adulam Soho, I got 10, Azeka, Sha'arayim Adisayim, Hagedera Giderosayim, that all together I have 15, but he says, Arim Arbes Revachatrayim, one of them must be the same as the other one. That could very well be. Snon Chadasha Mingal Gud, Dilan Mitzvah Yoxel, Lachish Botskat Eglon, Chabon, that's 10, Lachmas Kislish, Gideros Beis Dagon, we all know what that is, Vinama, Makeda, and all together that's right there, Arm Sheshes Revachatrayim, that is 100% correct, Livna V'Esther V'Ashan, Yitzhak Ashno Nitziv, Ki'ila V'Achziv Umaresha, Arm Tesha V'Chatrayim, that is 9, and that is 100% correct, Ekron Ubenoseh V'Chatrayim, that's just Ekron, Ekron V'Yama Koshar Yad Ashdod V'Chatrayim, around Ashdod, Ashmoseh V'Chatrayim, Azob Benoseh V'Chatrayim, An Nachmatan V'Yam U'Gvul, V'Har Shamir, right in the mountain of the Shamir, I don't know if that's really where the Shamir worm was or anything like that, I have absolutely no idea. By the way, the Yatir V'Soko, in the mountain, I'm sorry. In the mountain, the cities were Shamir, Yatir, Soko, that's 3. Dana, Kiryasana, Hidavir. Anov, Eshtemo, Va'onim. Goshen, Kolon, that's 10. Gilo. Altogether, that's Arim Achadisrei V'Chatzrayim. 11 altogether, and that is 100% correct. Once again, everything is right there. So up until now, the only mistakes that we have, right, are the 29, which really should should have been 38. And what was the other one that we had?
15 that were 14.
But 15 that we thought were 14.
But I think it's one city you, it was 2 words long. And you,
it's possible. It's possible. There were 38, though.
Well, I don't know. Rashi says, yeah, Rashi says that in Lama Dala it says Ein Ganim Tapuach. Rashi says that Ein Tapuach is one city.
Ein Ganim Tapuach?
It's the Pasuk writes out Ein Ganim Tapuach.
Okay.
But
you said at Umam Soko. Anyway, we don't know. We have absolutely no idea. Let's go, guys. After that,
I was a neighbor and put up Tikva and
Like a little boy, though. Arav Duma Eshon. What's that say? Dinim? I just don't have it. Arav Beduma Veashon. Viyanum?
Yeah.
Okay, I just don't have it over here. Viyanum, Beistapuach Bapeka, that's 6. Chumta, Kiryat Arba Yichabron, Vitzior, Arun Teshav Achatran, that's 9 altogether. Ma'on,
these are all the cities that
Ma'on Carmel Vizifi, Utah. Oh, Utah, they got Utah also. Okay, right there. It could be Ma'on Carmel, I don't know yet, but that should be 4. Yisrael, Yokta Amin Zenoah, Hakayan, Giva, Timna, altogether that's 10. Oren Aser Bachatzrayan. Chauchul Beis Tzur Gidor. Maras Beis Anos Altakon. That is Oren Shesh Bachatzrayan, that's 6. Kiryas Baal Yerkesi Oren Baharaba. Oren Shain Bachatzrayan, that's 2. Bamidbar Beis Arava Midin Uschava. Right? And then Nivshon Schava, sorry. Then Nivshon Ira Melech Lein Gedi. Oren Shesh Bachatzrayan, that's 6. So let's count it all up, guys. 6 plus 2 is 8. Plus 6 is 14. Plus 10 is 24. Plus 9 is 33, plus 11 is 44, plus 9 is 53, plus 16 altogether is what, 69, plus 14, 69 plus 14 altogether is 83, that is correct. 83 plus 29 is 103 plus 9, that's 112, I believe. Is that correct? 112 cities altogether? I think I got that correct. All right, we'll go with that. 112 cities altogether was all theirs. Some of them, though, were given over to Shevet Shimon. So at least that's there. Devir, by the way, is known as Kiryat Sefer, Dana, and Kiryat Sana altogether.
Who is all the Israel?
Oh, by the way, Tapuach and Einam are the same name, or Gedera and Gedero Sayim are the same name. Okay? Okay, whatever.
112 cities of Yehuda or of all
of Yehuda?
Oh, wow.
This is just Yehuda. Yes, Yehuz Yehoshu Yerushalayim, Mo Yuchlip and Yehuda, where Rishon were able to knock them out. Yehoshu Yehuz Yehoshu Yehuda of Yerushalayim, and Yehoshu 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 Yehoshu. The Yebusim had made a deal with Avram Avinu, and that's the reason why they were not able to be knocked out. They had made that. Remember, they made two idols. One was of a blind man, one was of a lame man, to represent Yitzchak, who was blind, and Yaakov, who was lame, from the hit with the Malach. They did that. It was the Yebusim. But the Yebusim could have mixed in with the Pleshtim. But they did that. David eventually attacked them, and David is the one that killed them. That's what ended up being.
But did he purchase Harbai from a Yebusi guy?
Yes, he did. David said, Arvana. Arvana Hayyavu.
So why did you want to kill him
and take him? I don't know. That I don't have any time for.
No, maybe it was like Avram who purchased the Maras Mapela, even though later on they just win in a war. But
all right, we have a short part, guys. Maybe we'll be able to go over to Shevet Park Yud Zion. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to finish Yud Zion, but here we go. Vayitza Gorol Bnei Yosef. The Gorol went out to Bnei Yosef. Miyardin Yericho, Bnei Yericho, Mizrach Amidbar, Oyulam Yericho, Bahar Beis El. Okay, it went from the Jordan River at Yericho, and the spring of Yericho to the east, right, all the way to the desert that goes up Yericho off the mountain to Beis El. The other city of Beis El, Luz, went to Luz. We all know what Luz is, right? Luz is the city where no one dies, right? That was the city of Luz. So Abra Ogbula, Arki, Ataros, and all the way went to the boundary of the Arki, right by the city of Ataros. The Yard Yama Ogbula, Yaplefi, then it went down westward to the boundary of the Yaplefi. Adbul Beis Horon, Tachton, to Beis Koron, Tachton, Gazer, Vayusotav Yama. The Arku, Bnei Yosef, Menashe Ephraim, and Yosef, Menashe Ephraim, they ended up getting it all together. Okay, anyway, we talk about why Menashe comes first, Ephraim comes first. It depends. Every single time there's differences on whether or not they were there. Yeah.
Let's
see if you can find it on Saturn, this map.
It's around, where's Jerusalem?
Around that.
like around where Eshtahol.
Eshtahol. No, that's fine. That's not done.
No, but that's where Shimshon was born. Haran Eshtahol.
See, the reason why is because eventually Dun, who's all the way up there, came down. Right? That's what we're going to say about Kulegis to Giva. Remember they were finding a new place to go and they passed by Giva? That's where they were coming to. They were passing by Giva to go out there, so they probably went that way. Giva's right there. So that's probably the answer.
Hever Dun is also over there when you're like hiking around.
That makes sense. There probably were two lands that Dun was in charge of. Alright, let's go, guys. Here we go. The Arim HaMindolos was Nephi, the Silk Masters of Menashe, Kola Arim HaChatzran. The cities were divided up, or they were around the Nephi, inside the Nakhla of Menashe, Kola Arim HaChatzran, all those cities. The Lord Rishu has Kanani Yosha Begazer, they did not drive out the people in Gazer, Yeshua Kanani Beter of Ephraim, and Yomazeb, Yilamas Obeid. Those people lived by Ephraim up until today, and that was a terrible, terrible thing for them. Obviously, they learned from them, which is a terrible, terrible thing. Unfortunately, that was a tremendous sin on Ephraim's part.
There were.
That they did not try to knock them out. All right, guys, we have a lot of stuff to talk about here. But yeah, Goro Lamata Menashe, he was Bechor Yosef. The Goro from Lamata Menashe was the Bechor of Yosef. Machir, Bechor Menashe, Aviyah Gilad. Machir was the Bechor of Menashe, the father of the Gilad. Kuoya Ish Mochamah, he was a man of war, but Gilad, Gilad, Babashan. He took the Gilad and the Bashan. So, Machir was not like the other people. He went on the other side of the Jordan River, lived over here, right, Machir himself, but he wasn't doing it for grazing land or anything like that. He did it for two reasons. Number one, because he was considered the firstborn family of the nation. Machir was the firstborn of Menashe. Menashe was the firstborn of Yosef. Yosef, although he was not actually the firstborn of Yaakov, was in certain aspects considered the firstborn. It was therefore fitting that the family of Machir be the first to receive his portion. He was also an exceptionally mighty warrior. Even in a generation of mighty warriors, he conquered the greatly fortified cities of Gilead and Bashan to demonstrate his ability. That's why he did it. He didn't need to do it in Eretz Canaan. He did it out there. And he is what Moshe referred to in his bracha, that he was like an axe. That's what Machir was. Machir and his children would have the portion on the frontier where they would be able to protect the nation against attack. That's the idea behind it over there. Interesting. Let's quote this. This is a very... When Yaakov blessed Ephraim Menashe, he put his right hand on the head of Ephraim, who was standing in front of him on the left side, and his left hand on the head of Menashe was on the right side. The Christians are fond of noting that his hands were in the form of a cross. Have you ever heard that before? I never heard that before in my life. I'm just saying, I've never heard this before in my life. They consider this to be an allusion to their religion. They sometimes use it as an argument to try to convince Jews of the truth of their beliefs.
Terrible.
Listen to that.
That's pretty weird. Prove that Christianity.
A priest once confronted Rabbi Yaakov Giron, the author of Abir Yaakov. The Abir Yaakov is the grandfather of the Baba Tzalim.
Maybe there's two separate.
It must be. For this argument, Rabbi Giron answered him that it does not state that he put his hands on both of their heads simultaneously. He first put his right hand on the head of Ephraim and blessed him. Then he put his left hand on the head of Menashe and blessed him too. Of course, even had he crossed his hands, it would not have constituted a reference to Christianity, and certainly not a proof. But it's important to be able to answer those who think it is. One should always be prepared with answers to the missionaries who try to lead Jews astray and tempt them to abandon God and His Holy Torah. Can you imagine your kid comes home and he's got that little, you know, that little paper with like the hands crossed and everything? He's like, "That's wrong, you Christian."
Or not necessarily correct.
Yeah, that's what you want to say. Oh my gosh, what's unbelievable. Yeah, I mean, there's some good stuff over here. Obviously, he goes into my image appeared to you in the window, and you could not sin. He knew. Yaakov said, "I know who Menashe is. I know who the Bechor is, and everything like that." He put a friend before Menashe. Right. However, even though he was the firstborn of Yosef, he did not receive his portion until after his brother Ephraim. That's one way of looking at this over here. That even though he was the Bechor, he did not get it until after Ephraim was done. Hold on one second. The effect of Yaakov's brother was not that Ephraim. It's not that Ephraim and Asher received larger portion than other tribes, but that their allotment be separate from one another and not combined into one portion. Right? Other than that, it is weird though, because Ephraim and Asher were right next to one another. They technically were one big portion.
Is Ephraim punished for leaving?
The 30,000 people were killed.
Yeah, but there was no...
Nothing else.
Standard.
None of the other people were hurt, no. Nothing like that. All right, here we go. It was in Pasuk Beis, guys. Yud Zayin Beis. Vayu l'bnei Menashe, no sar l'mishpachol sham, l'bnei Abiezer, l'bnei Chelek, l'bnei Asriel, l'bnei Shechem, l'bnei Chefer, l'bnei Shmida. Eilu b'nei Menashe ben Yosef v'zacharim l'mishpachol sham. Those are the children who were still alive. That's amazing that Menashe's kids were still alive.
Maybe that means like his grandchildren.
Their families? Oh, I remember a shot. I know Sarim because son of Menashe's families were killed when they ran away
by one of the times Shiva Levi destroyed
the families them.
That happened at one point. Okay, either way, says Lutzlochot ben Chaper ben Gilad ben Machar ben Menashe lo yilo banos yim banos. He only had daughters. Elish was ben Osef. These are the names of his daughters. Machlan Noah Chaglam Milka v'Sirta. Okay, those are the five altogether. If you grab the name Lazar Akoin, they came in front of Lazar Akoin with Neoshu ben Nun with Manis. He anymore. Hashem tivas Moshe lo tesvanu nachla b'soch acheinu. Hashem is commanding Moshe to give us an nachla within our brothers. Vayitzelim al piyashen. And he gives them to them out of God nachla b'soch acheinu. A nachla within the brothers of our fathers. Vayiplu chaplei Menashe asara levad me'aretz Gilad. They had 10 measures aside from the land of the Gilad and the Bashan Hashem Yibel Yarden on the other side of the Jordan River. Kibinos Menashe nachla nachla b'soch panav. Those daughters did get an nachla. Eretz Gilad ha'isla b'nei Menashe nosaran. All the other people could go out there if they wanted to, and that was that. We could talk about the Bnei Slavkot for quite a while over here. I don't think it's necessary for right now. It's a long piece over here in the Mamluk, and I haven't done it yet because I didn't think we'd do this parak. Let's finish off the parak and let's see what we can do over here, and then maybe I'll go back to it as we come out to it. So it says, "Vayigvu Menashe mi Asher haMichmaso from Asher to Michmas, right? Asher off in Ishkam, right by Ishkam. Vahalach Gvu Yamin to the right, Al Yosha in Tapuach. The Menashe likes the Eretz Tapuach, the Tapuach Gvu Menashe living in Ephraim.
The city that made 15-14 in Tapuach."
That made what?
Ain't a fourth, yeah.
Before, in 15, but it was...
That was in...
Ain't a fourth.
In Ganin Tapuah, it was called.
But yeah, it was called that, but I hear what you're trying to say, meaning it's the same thing.
But then how did they get the same city? Menashe, this is a fire.
I'm trying to find where it is. I don't see Ain Tapuah anywhere around here.
Well, this is not... They don't
basically, Corona, I see. I know, it's just strange, because it's mentioned twice. But I do not see Ain Tapuah anywhere around here. Barely anything from Menashe around here. All right, anyway, I don't see it. What else do we have over here? By Yardagbul, Yardagbul Nachal Kana, right? Negbal Nachal Arim. Ha'il Lefayim B'sochari Menashe, Gbul Menashe Mitzvon Lenachal. It was on the north side of that river, but Yitzosov Yaman went to the west. Negbal Lefayim Mitzvon Lenashe, to the south of Ephraim, to the north of Menashe. Ha'ya Yaman Gbulo, and the Yam was his Gbul. Usher Yifkun Mitzaponi hit Usher on the north. Yisafar Mitzvon on the east was Yisafar. Yisafar is right over here. Usher is right over there. Okay, so that's over there. Ha'il Menashe B'Yisafar V'Usher Base Sha'an Ubenosei. Yeah, Base Sha'an. Base Sha'an, I see. It's right over there, right by the Jordan River. Ubenosei and the cities around it. B'Yibloam Ubenosei. We have Yibloam. Yeblaam, it should be. I don't see a Jeblaam or anything like that. Okay, it doesn't say it over there. It's Yoshe Dor Ubenosei. We have Dor, D-O-R. I think it is in there. I think there is an Ain Dor right there. I'll bet you that's around that area. Yoshe Tanach Ubenosei. Yoshe Megiddo Ubenosei. Shloshes Hanofes. The three regions all together. Where's Megiddo and Tanakh? Do we have Megiddo and Tanakh? Tanokh, Megiddo, very, very good, right around that area. What else we got? They weren't able to drive out certain people in those cities, and the Kanani continued to live there. So they ended up making them pay taxes, but they were never able to drive them out, right? That evil practice was spread out by other people, and unfortunately they did not kill them at all, and because of that they ended up paying a lot, they ended up paying for it by worshipping Avodah Zarah, unfortunately. But that's the idea behind it. Alright, even though it mentions Asher and Naphtali over here, even though they haven't, or Yisachar, they haven't gotten their portions yet, it's because we know that this is being written when Yeshua was about to die. He had already given out to Asher and to everybody else. Okay, that's that. That was that. The people of Yosef spoke to Yeshua saying, why do you give me one goro? I'm a huge nation. If you're such a big nation, then go to the forest and you should search over there in the land of the Perizzi, or drive out over there, maybe cut out over there in the land of the Perizzi, Rephaim, and the giants, because Harafaim is there for you. We're not going to be able to defeat the mountain. They have these iron chariots for the Canaan. They live in the valley. In other words, they live in the valley, which makes them even stronger. They're willing to live in a valley, and they're still strong. long enough over there. You guys are huge, all right? Go on, Gadolok. You got a lot of strength. It's like that guy literally. He's like, you can do it, guys. You can do it. You will get the mountain. Yarhu. It is a forest. Ubei Reso. Okay, and all that area you can cut down. And those are your borders. And drive out the Kanani, right? Even though they have iron chariots, even though they're so strong, you can go ahead and do it all together. There's a lot to talk about over here. We're not going to be able to finish it off and stuff like that. We're going to try to continue with this next time. I'll try to finish up the different parts that we have over here, okay? All right, guys, we'll stop with that.